Don't let your heart be twisted by restless thoughts, trying to wrap your mind around everybody else's cause and doubts you build on. So give into the scene of making it happen. Think about it for one droplet of time, and only by yourself you'll see your flaws, and there will lie your actions and your words. Are you done being crazy? I don't know. Tomorrow's gonna be too late, so go grab your matters into your own hands. Say more, speak less.
Hi, this is Carl Weinschenk with the Daily Music Break at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to check out great music across all eras and genres. Get free email newsletters, hear some great interviews like the one we're about to do, and check out some playlists. We're very, very, very pleased to be speaking to Nino Arabellidzai for the second time. And we're just going to spend some time catching up with Nino and what's going on. How are you doing today, Nino?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you, Carl?
Just fine. Thanks very much for taking time out. Excuse me. Really appreciate it. Nino, to start with, where can folks find your music?
The best place to look for me is my website, artistecard.com/NINOAROBELIDZE, Nino Arobelidzai. And that's it will take you, and then it's got links to Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, whatever floats your boat, you know, whether you're a photographic person or audiovisual, you know, there's ways to get in touch. And for sure, you can come see me live if you're in Chicago, usually in the next few months while I'm here. So
beautiful. Well, I was going to get to where you're living and where you are, but you beat me to the punch. I did some research. I originally posted about you on April 1st, I think a year ago. So it's day before yesterday. We chatted originally for a podcast in November. So I'm going to repost a link to that. So this is the third time you've been on the site, and I'm very happy about that.
That's cool. Thank you very much for having me, for supporting me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. To start with, Nino, for people who haven't had the chance to listen to the, you know, your music yet, how would you define it? It's very eclectic, so it's probably better coming from you than from me.
Oh gosh, I recently had someone write me up a review, and there were some great quotes, so I can describe it in a way that I thought was perfect. Thank you, Margie. She said, "She's the pipes powering a brand of soul that's her own, with a jazz and world music tinted R&B and soul that's inevitably getting branded Billie Holiday-esque." Yes. That's Margie Cohen from Chicago. Thank you, Margie. She's a writer and a publicist. So I appreciate that succinct description, because it truly is an honor to be compared to Billie Holiday. And I would never dare describe myself that way. You know, you wait for people to talk about you.
They're not the same that for a reason, I think. Now you started out, of course, you started out in Tbilisi, Georgia. And now you're in Chicago, so that's that kind of informs your music, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I started out. I mean, I moved here as a teenager with my family, so it was kind of inevitable. And at the same time, I ended up in a place where it's really suitable to my style and the things that really fuel my songwriting and my musical tastes. Like, this is the place for the blues, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can go see buddy guy multiple times a year. He's not, I mean, I can't go to his house because I don't know him personally, but I mean, it's really wonderful to have access to artists of that caliber, of that kind of craftsmanship. So it's really something. And then, to hear world music here is really also super inspiring. And you see a lot of touring acts, but also artists who have, either immigrated from Brazil or Argentina, Spain. My friends are from Eastern Europe and are either classical musicians or, world musicians. So it's a very interesting blend of people and musical tastes.
Beautiful. Well, it sounds great. And Chicago, of course, is one of the great cities in the world. I love going there. What's been the focus? As I said, we last spoke in November. What's been this focus, for the end of 2014 and so far this year? What have you been focusing on, Nina?
My focus is to start playing for audiences that are not familiar with my work. And the best way to do that is to, of course, be active on the social media platform in terms of creating music, films, and I'm really into, live music footage because people really want to see what you sound like live and what your band is like. And I have a killer band that I'm really, really excited to be working with, Pablo Gordy and Meg Thomas on percussion. And it's a very stripped down, you probably heard the Be Easy interview.
Yes.
So we really enjoy, I really enjoy arranging my music and some standards, or pop covers or whatever, but it's not very common that I will throw in a Georgian arrangement or something like that. But that's usually kind of a flavor of the set. Mm-hmm. And I've been focusing on reaching over to Northwestern Europe, like Ireland, England, France, hopefully some Germany, bringing my work out there. But it's an interesting process, booking, and my manager does a lot of the communications, but it's very interesting, like who reaches out to play music on their stations or on their programs. And I would never expect people from Georgia to find me, or from Paris to find me, or from London to find me, but because of the whole cyberspace is incredible way of like right now we're talking from, you're from New York and I'm from Chicago, and that's seemingly very near, but at the same time you found me online, right?
Yes.
So that's what I've been focusing on, just sharing the work and expanding the fan base, and just slowly, ground up, but also very persistent, but with a lot of integrity. I'm not a self-promoter, so I'm not a huge, I don't like shoving my music down anybody's throat. So it's a very fine line between self-promotion and creativity and sharing.
So you have you're actively planning a European tour?
Actively more like plotting out how I want to go about it, It takes about 6 months to plot out and then execute, But I'm just really interested in doing more festival appearances because that's where strangers that wouldn't normally find your work would find you. Mm-hmm. And some radio tours, maybe Georgian appearance, both on the East Coast and Tbilisi. Like East Coast of Georgia has a Black Sea Jazz Festival. Right. That's really wonderful there, and I would love to play there, but there's a lot of red rope, so we'll see.
Uh-huh. What's the name of that festival? I think I have a clip at the site from a Klezmer band playing the Blacks. I think that festival you're referring to.
Oh, a Klezmer band?
I think so, yeah. I think it's probably the festival that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's called the Black Sea Jazz Festival. There's a few. I mean, I would love to play the North Sea Jazz Fest. There's a small jazz festival that's pretty young out of New York called Winter Jazz Fest. It just happened recently. I would love to play that one. There's a few, like the Java Jazz Festival, mm-hmm. That's way east in Asia. But I would love, you know, there's certain ones that I really love their presentation and the selection of artists they use. And I think my very favorite festival that I would really love to play is the NOLA, New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Right, right.
Which is just a magical, you know, I love to go, you know, spend some quality time in NOLA and write and meet other musicians and, you know, do a show at the Preservation Hall, you know, stuff like that.
Now, Chicago has a big blues festival, right, every
yep.
year. Mm-hmm. Would you like to play that one?
The blues festival is very blues specific, and I think I have too many styles in my playing. I think the jazz festival would definitely be a possible fit. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, I would love to. I just noticed that it's a different type of... when you are a local, you don't get, you know, headliner spots, and you really don't get really nice time slots when you play, when you're from here, as opposed to when you're a touring artist from another place. It's like when somebody's, you know, I like the Chicago Jazz Festival, but it's definitely not the presentation and the publicity that it gets. It's not really... really well representing the jazz community that's mm-hmm. globally available. So I'm not like a huge fan of how it gets booked. Mm. But
interesting.
It must be that I'm, you know, here and I kind of know the behind the scenes of it, I guess. I don't know.
It's funny because you mentioned Buddy Guy, and I had just I asked a question, it popped into my mind, because I just posted a clip of Sun Seals playing that festival. The Chicago, I believe it was the Chicago Blues Festival. Yeah. A few years ago, obviously he passed away, but that's why it kind of popped into my head to ask you that.
Yeah, I would love to. Buddy Guys is actually headlining the Blues Fest this year in Chicago, which is going to be wonderful to see him.
I'm going to send you a very funny but terrific short clip of Buddy Guy. He actually is championing a young blues player by the name of Quinn Sullivan, who's an incredible guitar player. It's funny. I'll send it to you. What's the difference, Nino, between playing a set in front of a crowd who knows your music as opposed to a crowd that doesn't know your music? It must be a very different feel. What's that like?
You know what? I think that I'm still getting used to, like, when I play for an audience that's familiar with me, they still get a lot of new music because I'm always writing. So mm-hmm. it's a very interesting when people don't know your work and kind of breaking that ice in the first, you know, 5 minutes, which is the deciding moment where they, you know, it could be 10 seconds. For me, it's like the first... you know, the breath before the sound comes out, I can tell what's going to happen, you know, based on the feeling that you get, just that very thing that doesn't get spoken, you know, it's not audible.
Right.
There's just electricity in the air. And I think that's the difference between people that are familiar versus not familiar, that there's the tension of, you know, wanting to be surprised by how good it's going to be, because that's why people go to hear music. They want to be, you know, moved, and they want to, you know, they want to love it. But I think for me, it's the difference between someone knowing that they're going to hear certain things that they love hearing mm-hmm. versus somebody that's going to be hearing it for the first time. And that kind of hope that you're going to bring it across. So it's a lot of, in terms of expectations, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. So one group of people expects to hear something and it's more like the feeling they're going to get and the sensation they're going to have versus just the songs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is not knowing what's happening. And I love that. When people are just kind of going, what is happening right now? And I think that that's can be polarizing for an audience, because a lot of people you know, because of the whole cover band mentality that has happened in the last, you know, I'd say 20 years. And that's, you know, I started out about 10 years ago, I'd say, kind of building up and starting to play clubs and, you know, and it's kind of a weird time to be writing new music and playing, you know, because people want to, you know, the game show mentality kicks in a lot of times. Like, I want to hear the song this way, or I want to hear this song or that song. Well, that's what the radio is for. Right. And that's what, you know, so it's a very interesting thing, because you get a lot of diehard fans that are like fans for life. Like, I love this. Happy. And then you have people going, you know, and I don't really get people like that, which is great. Because they already know what they're coming out to, you know, play, because they're not going to a free show. So they're going to check what they're going to see. You know what I mean? Right. They're not going to just pay for something they're not going to like. So, yeah.
Must be a little different for you, because, I mean, you're not AC/DC. I mean, you really have to listen to, no offense to AC/DC. They're one of the great bands ever. But
seriously.
They are. But, you know, you got to listen to your music. It's not something, AC/DC, you pretty much know what it's all about after the first chord.
Right, right. It's cool. It's very adrenaline.
Right. Rush.
Yeah. It's definitely very raw. What I like about AC/DC is to this day, they really, their energy, like, they just bring it and bring it and bring it and bring it. It's a high energy type of a show.
Right.
I'm excited about that kind of rock and roll though, too, because that's just such good stuff.
Right. But my point was with you, what I've heard, if you don't know your music, you really have to listen to it. I mean, it's not Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. I mean, it's you know, it's a little bit more demanding than that, and both have their place, but it must be a little bit harder to a new audience, I would imagine. I'm just talking as, you know, total layperson.
Yeah. Well, you're not a total layperson because you became a listener of mine, right? So
absolutely.
The thing that really thrills me is that you get a stranger who's obviously a music, huge music nerd and a music lover and supporter of all things indie and non-indie, because the music that I've seen you post about is both, you know, you can hear anything from, you know, Katie Melua from, you know, England to Charlie Parker and Wes Montgomery. And, you know, you cover a lot of ground.
It's and great.
I love that. And yeah, I definitely is demanding in terms of more like attentiveness. You don't have to be an intellectual to appreciate my sound or my message, but right. You do have to want to spend time kind of connecting with yourself. Right. And I think that a lot of people are hungry for that. And a lot more people are hungry for that than appears to be. And I think that's what the 60s did for a lot of listeners, you know. And I think that's coming back, like the appreciation for a good song.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great. I hope you're right. Are you playing? We spoke the last time. I don't know if it was during the interview or before or after. We talked about house concerts. Are you doing more of those? Is that something that's a staple for you?
You know what? I love doing house concerts, but they're not really a staple for me because I don't know why. I guess you have to. You end up with some very strange characters So, I mean, when you go with a band, it's all right, but you still, it's not as, you know, I don't do a lot of them. I'm very selective as to whose house I will go to and,
right.
You know, and there's a certain fee. And when you play a house concert, it's not free. So,
right.
And it ends up being people that we already know that really want to share our work with their friends and make it more like they can drink and eat and do whatever they feel comfortable doing without the, you know, the boundary line of a venue, which is usually, you know, very high end, and the times are controlled, and there's other bands involved, and you know, so that's actually kind of like creating venues inside people's homes. That's very, very cool. It's like salons, you know, in the Schubertiad type of a way, except this one is funky.
Right. Well, yeah, but you also have to be careful. I mean,
yeah. Well, I would never do a solo show like that. I would never just, you know, but again, it's people that are fans. It's more like, you know, you hear about crowdfunding. I haven't done a crowdfunding campaign, but this is kind of like a crowdfunder when a friend, you know, of the band, it's mostly a fan that, you know, a lot of our fans become my friends, and just because they're like keep showing up and keep bringing more people and word spread. So it's a very close knit. I like that about being indie. And even though I'm on a label, it's very much like, you know, every fan is a person to me. So it's not just somebody who buys my album and I never see them again.
Right.
And that's okay. But, you know, I'd rather create a lasting interaction with an audience.
Beautiful. And let's talk about New York. You're coming east, are you not?
That's in the plans. I would love to play the Blue Note, but it has to be, you know, I want to be able to know that there's quite a bit of a fan base over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, New York is tricky because you have like Rockwood Music Hall and the Blue Note, depending on the genre, you know. So if I play a straight ahead jazz venue, sometimes a weekend is reserved for like a really big name, you know, or like a local big name. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or Rockwood Music Hall in that case, which is another candidate, like they'll have an hour set, you know. And if I'm kind of come all the way out there, I'm not going to play for 45 minutes, you know what I mean? Like I want to throw down a show. So I want to do like what a jazz club would do. So it's kind of a conflicting. So I'm thinking like I would really like to do something at the Knitting Factory, maybe, you know, skip the jazz club idea and just kind of do something just very, you know, self-produced.
Right.
And but then that comes with a chance of it not really booking as well, you know. So it's, yeah, I would really love to, and I'm working on it, but I'm not in a hurry to go on the road, you know, because I'm a mom now, so I can't really, you know, pack up my child and just like throw him on my shoulders and hello family, let's go, we're going, you know.
I get, believe me, I get it. There also are, you know, the jazz brunches. We saw, I don't know if you've ever heard of a guitar player named Dave Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. And we, my wife and I just happened into a down, I don't even know if it's a village or Soho. I forget exactly where we were. But there he was playing. And he's with a couple of other, with a singer and a bass player, no drummer. And it was great. You know, it was a nice surprise to see him. I had actually heard of him, so it was interesting.
That's cool. Wait, where was this?
It was in I forget the name of the place. It was a restaurant in a hotel,
right?
Down somewhere downtown. You know, it's just everyone was sitting there eating, and they were playing, and they were great. They were fabulous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are plenty here too. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's not really a show. That's more of a jazz musician's bread and butter.
Right.
And to me, it's like, I'm not going to go take that away from that guy. I mean, we have plenty of that in Chicago, people head cutting and trying to get each other's gigs.
Oh, so that's what's going on. Oh, I get it. Okay. I get it.
Yeah, you know, if you see someone doing a brunch, that's their gig.
That's their
Sunday, you know. So it's weird because that's the reality of making money as a, you know, day to day. And that's kind of like what I don't really want to engage in because it takes away from the passion of it. And it's, of course, doesn't take away from the passion of it. If you really play like jazz, straight ahead jazz, and then you play standards and you have your books and you know, but if you're trying to like really break into the new sound, You know, they came a time, like maybe 3 years ago it was, when I decided that either I was going to like make a, you know, make a buck now or go in for the long haul and see if I can break into something more fulfilling in terms of musical creativity and artistic creativity.
Right.
And like, I didn't really, you know, there's so many great musicians that play the small club scene, and I didn't really feel like I could be happy doing that because I feel like I want more than, you know, a small audience that may or may not show up. And I saw too much of that, you know, like from the between age 17 and, you know, 21 when I went to clubs that were like all ages, and I saw, you know, these incredible artists who were in their 70s and 80s, like, you know, Von Freeman, this incredible saxophone player that would play for like three people at Pete Miller's in Evanston, you know, and I'd be like, how is this guy, you know, playing like Andy's downtown? There's like 10 people in the audience or everybody's eating. And that's the kind of like the negative side of it, because, you know, maybe you get to play your music, but who's really there to hear you, hear your soul, or hear what you have to bring as a child of the universe, or, you know, in the cosmic sense of the word, why artists do what they do. So there's a conflict there. And for me, I was getting really drained doing something like that. So I decided that, you know, I would find, I started teaching as a way to substitute. And then then you do bigger shows if you can, you know, and you do bigger shows and then you don't have to play every day.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that just kind of, that's more of a discussion as how to make a living as a musician, which is, you know, probably a 5-hour interview, you know, for part one, part two. But, you know, the stuff that the music business part of being a self-employed artist, that's a whole other talk, but.
Really? I mean, it's a lot of choices there. And I was thinking when I saw this, act, it's just like they just showed up and started playing because they're artists, you know. What was interesting there was I was watching very closely, and it was a great singer. She had a just wonderful voice, and she was a little bit older. You could tell she's been around, and they were actually, it was in some sense thrown together because I was watching very closely, and they were going over, you know, when they were going to do certain things. They were talking shop, like, you know,
right.
Which I can't really describe, but you would know right away.
More like form, I'll take the head, you take
right.
the bridge, I'll come back in.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I had the sense that maybe someone got sick and someone was substituting or something along those lines. It wasn't like these people were a band, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, and with jazz, that's like totally normal. You call in a singer and you say, "Hey, come do a 3 or 4 tunes. I'm doing a brunch."
Right.
Oh, great. You know. Oh, okay. Just, you know, and then you call a tune. And that's the thing about, you know, standards, that you can call a tune and everyone knows it. You call a key, you call a tune, and everybody's in it, and everyone solos over it, and everyone like exercises their, you know, creative muscle. But the thing is, as an audience member, it's exciting to watch that maybe once,
right.
But if you go keep going back to that, and then you keep hearing the same arrangement, or I don't know, you as an audience member, for me, I want to see preparation behind it a little bit more than just something that's impromptu.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's impromptu, then I want to see what Bobby McFerrin does. You know, create something completely new, like just throw down, and you know, that's like such an important element of being a performer, just pulling stuff out of the air and solidifying it into sound.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Nino, you know, this started out, my idea was to have a short conversation, but it's very hard to have a short conversation with you, Nino. It's not, yeah. And the last time we spoke, I ended up interviewing your son, I think. So.
Yeah, who was like 10 months at the time.
It's 10 months. And I got a lot out of it, I got to tell you. For people who are you playing in the next couple of weeks anywhere in Chicago?
I'm playing tomorrow
at a place called On Common Ground. It's one of the prime listening rooms in the country. It's a very small, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. They have two locations. The one location I'm at is a bigger room. It's on Devon, 1401 West Devon. And we'll be playing with Andy Willis, who is a Chicago blues singer and a harp player who's wonderful. You should definitely check him out. He's an incredible artist. And he's also a visual artist. And Pablo Gordy and Meg Thomas, who's my percussionist at the moment. And she's also a solo artist. So everybody's a solo artist, you know, in that pot. So it's going to be a great, great, great evening of song and soul and music.
What about after next Monday? Because I don't think I'm going to have this posted in time for that show. So everyone, you all missed that one, folks.
Okay. Then on April 18th, I will be playing. I will be playing at the Chicago French Market, and that place is new to me. I've never played it, and it's going to be kind of like an experience of going to have lunch at a French market in Paris. You get your baguette and you get your brie and maybe a nice glass of something, and we're playing three sets, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So
beautiful.
And plenty of other things. You can also always find what's going on my website.
I guess you're not playing. I was hoping you were playing the 8th, 9th, the 10th, because as I told you before I put on the software, my daughter's going to be in town, but I guess she didn't get lucky.
Ah, yeah, well, that would be great to see her. I'm playing on the 7th at a place called Act One Pub, but that's more of kind of like the Chicago's version of the Troubadour, where artists get to try out their new, I'll play like a 15-minute set. Actually, it's a cool organization called Chicago Acoustic Underground that hosts the first Tuesday of every month. They have songwriter showcases where you submit your work and then they'll feature you along with maybe five to seven artists a month. So you get to play 15 to 20 minute set of your original music and get to meet a lot of other songwriters. It's really cool. They're onto something really good there. So
beautiful.
But that's a 7th, unfortunately.
And you know, again, that main website from whence people can find all your stuff.
Okay. artistecard.com/Nino Arobelidze. NINOARO, B as in boy, ELIDZE. Wow. Arobelidze.
I almost pronounced it correctly at the beginning. Anyway, this is, thank you very, very much for taking time out.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very much for your continued support and for good questions.
This is Carl Weinschenk for the Daily Music Break at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear some great music, get some background on the music, great interviews like this one, and playlists, and sign up for free email newsletters. Thank you very much, folks. Bye-bye.